good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of our listeners all over the world. I'm Barry Miller, your host of the Revamp Podcast. Today, it is a pleasure to bring on Molly Bordensteiner, Head of Revenue of Operations at Syncrury, and see if I could do that twice, Molly. And
you got it. You did great.
And it's awesome to have Molly on this podcast. She has a history. Or how about this? Molly, tell us about your history you just were telling me. It's very interesting. I think our listeners would be interested to hear it come from you and not from me.
Yeah, absolutely. So Molly Bodensteiner, I've spent, you know, a little over the last 12 years really in the operations technology space, not to age myself, but started my career using Silverpop and Dynamics. And that was, you know, right out of college, first experience with CRM and MAP, and have continued to expand on that experience over the years, worked at Marketo on their professional services team, as well as have done a number of consulting gigs throughout the years, and currently now running revenue operations here at Syncrury. So excited to be here today.
Cool, yeah. Well, we're excited to have you. So is this your first revenue operations position?
No, this is actually my third. So have had experience on two other revenue operations teams prior to joining Syncrury. So it's been really fun to just watch how revenue operations has evolved over the last, let's call it, you know, I don't want to say decade, because I think that's even too broad of a net, but like, let's call it the last five years. You know, you're seeing a very similar path as like marketing operations and sales operations. And now I think companies are starting to see there's this, you know, go-to-market type of opportunity where having those operations teams come together and really working around the customer has such a tremendous impact for the business. So it's been really fun being a part of this journey.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And for you, when was it, what do you think caused that shift? Is it just that people have been talking for marketing ops for too long, so let's talk about something else? Or was there something specific in the macro environment that caused that shift?
No, I mean, I think, and one of the things that I think about a lot in this is, and you know, if you're on LinkedIn, there's always the noise of like, you know, should marketing operations report to revenue operations, or who reports to revenue operations? And there's this perception that like revenue operations really is a sales function, right? And I think it's because of the connotation of the word revenue in it. But at the end of the day, like, what is marketing trying to do? What is CS trying to do? What are all these pieces around operations really trying to do, right? Provide a better experience for the customer that in turn it drives revenue. So I think taking a step back on that, I think, you know, really strong performing customer centric organizations have always had a revenue operations mindset. And they think about things in that way, right? In terms of thinking about, you know, how do we provide, you know, value to the customer and improve our operational muscle while doing it. And now I think they've just added this layer in there where they've put more of like a dedicated focus in bringing the team together. And that's where like the notion of like the revenue operations team has come into play. But you don't have to have a body in revenue operations to successfully deliver revenue operations as an organization, right? So I think that that's some of that notion, but I think they're seeing when you have more alignment across those departments, especially when you think about, you know, processes, systems, data, tooling, enablement, you're knocking some of those silos down. So you're really, you know, moving that forward in like a more concise way. I always laugh, right? Because like the operations people in the business are like really, I don't know, I'm going to call us your superheroes, right? We're the dream makers, we're the getter doners, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, if you take a step back and like look at your business, like name another department that's working as cross-functionally as your operations folks, right? So these are really, when you have that synergy and that enablement, like you're really putting things forth for your business that you might be missing if you didn't have that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Makes sense. I like that. The superheroes, we'll go with that.
Yeah. Let me just coin myself that. Sorry.
Yeah, no, perfect. We don't patent everything on our podcast. So cool. So one thing we were discussing right before we pressed the record button was data. something that seems you're passionate about. I happen to be passionate about it. I like numbers. Like I studied finance in university, and I try to use numbers in my marketing, the way I think about marketing. So let's talk about data on this podcast. We've never had a podcast that talks mostly about data, so I'm excited about this. So in order to talk about data, maybe it's important to define what is data in, for a RevOps function. So the W, what?
Yeah, I mean, right? Like, I laugh because like data is really the backbone of your business. It's if you can't measure it, you can't improve it, right? And like, you have to have data to actually be able to measure it. And so, you know, thinking through that, it's more than just, you know, numbers, right? It's that story, it's that journey. It's bringing together, you know, all that critical information about your business and making it actionable and making it mean something.
Okay, cool. So data are numbers that can be understood quickly, so that information can be made from them.
And I don't know that that's like that's almost what your metrics are, right? Is the numbers that you can understand and your key performance indicators, right? Data is that foundation of that you're going to then aggregate together to tell your story.
Yeah. Okay. And I also wanted to hone in on the idea of like improvement, because you can actually do things without data, but maybe you
Oh yeah.
can't improve without data.
Yeah, I mean, right? And there's so many like nuances to this, right? Because like you can also work off inaccurate data. I mean, that's a whole other sunset of this too. So, yes, you can still make improvements without actually having data. I'd say if it's not something you're actually measuring, it's a lot harder to do and make those improvements. And you know, there's probably some statistical equation that tells you how much of that is luck or not. But then on the other flip side of it is like you can also have crap data that's completely inaccurate, stale, or unnecessary, and make decisions off of that as well. I think we see that a lot within businesses, and that's where, you know, one of the big things before you even think about what data means to your business, you've got to take that step back in terms of like what are you trying to measure and what the definition of that is. Right? Like the same way you write business requirements when you're buying a piece of software, you need to write data requirements on how you're building metrics and KPIs and what you're trying to measure. I worked at one company and came in, and the way the business was quantifying what a customer was, product's definition of a customer was different than go-to-market's definition of a customer. How do you aggregate that up, and how do you make sure that like the business understands when we say a simple word like customer, what that actually means.
Yeah, no, that's wild. That's and we're using the word data, but that's just like how you communicate is different, even.
Right.
Okay, so I guess is that like one big piece of data, maybe management or hygiene, is just defining what are the variables and what are the definitions of things that need to be measured.
Yeah, so like even just thinking about you know, common definitions of things that you're trying to aggregate up to your business, right? MQL. Let's just talk. I mean, I know you hear MQLs are dead, right? But like, as you're defining, like, what quantifies an MQL for a business? What is the process that occurs in our customer experience? How does that then translate into the technical process, right? How it runs through our systems, and then what becomes the output of that is ultimately the metric that we're pulling, which is the MQL. And so, you know, before you can start trying to put together like, you know, this is our output that we're going to get to, you have to actually make sure your systems or your processes, both actually, can deliver that as an output. And you're really clear on what that is. Otherwise, you end up with the crap inaccurate data situation, or you run into the fire drill where you're either writing a bunch of SQL to try to pull things together or living in Excel.
Right. Yeah. No, it makes sense. And then how do you, let's say you did it correctly, how do you communicate that across team? And does it even
Yeah.
need, and does it need to be communicated across teams?
I mean, I think it goes back to like the business strategy that you're portraying, right? Like ultimately, if a KPI and a leading indicator is MQLs, like you should be surfacing that to the business, but MQL on its own is not good enough, right? So say 50 is a number. You have to be able to quantify that 50 into the scheme of what that actually means to the business. Is 50 good? Is 50 bad? I don't know. Right. So comparing 50 based on whatever a goal is, based on historical trending, based on conversion rate to subsequent stages. You know, if I always laugh, I had when I was running a marketing team, I had my boss say, you need to be able to generate 200 MQLs. And I said, what's my budget? And he said, my budget. And I said, okay, done. I'll just go buy a list, right? Like you have to give more to it and why it's important than just the number. And you have to be able to either reverse engineer it back of how it's going to get to revenue or push it down and understand how it's going to convert down to revenue. But you've got to be able to tie it to ultimately that end game. But on the flip side of it, you can't just say you need, you know, $10 million in new business without going backwards and figuring out how you get there, right? So that data and those metrics become a part of the journey for how you get to, you know, ultimately measure your output.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense. So let's say someone joins as the first RevOps person at their company. Where do they start with data? Clearly, yeah. Data has to be a prioritization, but where do they start in that
one? Yes. So what I found is usually companies make their first RevOps hire after they have already, they've realized they need the help, right? It's mm-hmm. never a proactive hire because we have everything that we need set up. It's a reactive hire of like, help, we don't know how to use our systems. Help, things are getting too hard. So good luck to you, first RevOps hire. I'm rooting for you. So part of the things that I think about in that is like, understand what your infrastructure is, right? Map the flow of data between your tools. And it doesn't have to be some crazy fancy diagram, right? But you need to understand. You need to understand what your tech stack is. And I always laugh at this because I've worked in companies where I come in and I think I know the tech stack. And then I'm like, oh yeah, wait, what? You got an invoice for this tool that I had no idea that existed, right? So spend time. If you can't track the invoices, go to finance, go to IT. They will tell you what you own or what you're paying for and bring that together and do an audit of like, what tools do we have? What data do they produce? How does that come together? And map that out, understand what's, you know, single direction versus bi-directional, what's manual imports and loads. From there, start to build your data dictionary, right? You don't have to have some crazy fancy data dictionary, right? Open Excel, build your tabs, get your schema, understand, you know, what's touching these key attributes. How did they get populated? What source? What's the frequency? And like, what actually is your data authority strategy, right? Like what wins there? And start to build that dictionary so you understand where things are happening. There's nothing harder than, so there's twofold on this that I'm going to talk through. When you have to make a change in your systems, let's say you're changing a pick list value of leads status. I'm just throwing something out there. Like, yeah, I know how to like change that pick list in Salesforce. Where are all the other places that that's probably referenced in your stack? Several, right? So having like a clear dictionary, understanding the sources of information and like the downstream is huge. On the secondary side of that is that you're not going to be hopefully a RevOps team of one forever. And so when you think about bringing in like your additional hires, like this is such a strong foundation for scalability and growth. And being able to get somebody in and get them ramped up quickly. And it's one thing that you're really keeping updated, but it's such a critical thing to keep updated for your business. It also helps when you start bringing, you know, product usage information in and other, you know, outside of go-to-market sources to be able to take that to your data analytics team and be like, here's our go-to-market data dictionary. Should we be joining this with yours?
Yeah. Sounds complicated. Like, how much time does it take to do something like that?
It doesn't have to take tons of time to do this, right? Like, it's not something that you need to sit and do, like, spend 2 weeks doing, right? Like, you should really be able to from putting together kind of like your general schema of how your data is flowing, go in, copy and, you know, you can copy and paste the fields out of these systems. You can export the fields out of these systems. You can see where they're being used. And you don't have to make, you don't have to say, oh yeah, this is on a page layout. This is on this page layout, right? Like it can be very high level, but you need to make sure you've at least got something in place and getting that aligned so that when you go and you start defining these KPIs with your team, you know, hey, this field's getting updated from these six different sources, right? Like what's our source of truth for this? How do we need to measure this? And, you know, more often than not, your six different sources aren't all talking to each other at the same time. And like, what's your vulnerability to error, right? Because you probably don't have actually like centralized data management.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, you don't have to make it harder than what it needs to be. That would be my piece, right? Because it's an evolving document, but mm-hmm. you need to make sure you've got some place to work off of.
And it goes in like a Google Doc, or it goes into, do they have software for this, or does there need to be software for this?
There is software for that. This, I mean, right? Like, so that, like Syncery, we have it directly built within our platform. It's right mm-hmm. there. It's referenceable, but like, you don't need to go buy a tool for this. If a spreadsheet works for it, right? Like, a lot of times, like just the spreadsheet's the starting point. Mm-hmm. Don't go out and buy your own data dictionary tool. You're probably not there yet.
Right. Okay, cool. So we're at the data dictionary. So you figured out like what data you already have. You figured out the data yep. dictionary. Both of these things are living documents. So even if you're the fifth person in your RevOps team, these are still important. You'll just be growing it versus these non-static documents. Yep. Then what? What's the next? What comes next?
Yeah. So I think coming in and your organization, if you've been brought in, should have KPIs, right? There should be some sort of North Star metrics, things that the business is measuring. Like you need to spend time, because ultimately those are probably going to come down to the responsibility of revenue operations and finance to bring together for monthly reporting and those pieces. So sitting and really then going in and defining what are those metrics that we're accountable for measuring, what do we have today that we need to maintain? And then what are the new things that we need to also be bringing in and getting really aligned on what the process for that is, when it happens, and then what the output becomes from, you know, display. Because obviously there's going to be different metrics that probably the sales team is looking at versus like the financial metrics. And so being really clearly aligned on this is how we run month in. This is when we calculate it. This is what this looks like. And alignment between finance as well is going to be huge for that. Because if sales is running numbers before finance has done reconciliation and those things, you're going to get discrepancies. So sitting and, you know, coming up with like, this is our operating cadence for pulling these numbers. This is what goes into those. And this is how we report back out. And getting that buy-in and alignment is really important. This is something like, well, RevOps might own the architecture and the delivery of the numbers. They shouldn't own the definition of the numbers, right? The business should really be defining what they need to measure so that you have that built in.
So this piece is a lot of communication and becoming, finding your champions that want to communicate, and also finding the people that need to communicate, even if they don't want to communicate as much. Not to go into any specifics there, but I think we've all been there no matter what your position is. And so you mentioned finance. Maybe you can talk a little bit more on that relationship of finance, sales, and RevOps.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's such an important synergy between, you know, think revenue operations, you know, just the word revenue, right? What's finance ultimately care about and responsible for? And there's, you know, the whole accounting and financial factor of these things, which is very hand in hand in what is happening from, you know, the sales operations component of things, deal desk, processing new deals, payments, all of that management. Generally, like those systems are supported by RevOps, but finance is ultimately a key stakeholder in those pieces as well. So how information goes from, you know, Salesforce or your CRM to your ERP or your payment platform, right? There's got to be a really strong relationship between the two teams and definition and alignment and how it's managed and what those outputs are. Otherwise, it's going to become super chaotic, right? And how that information comes back, right? So when a customer makes a payment in, you know, Stripe or wherever, like, we should probably get that into Gainsight so the CS team stops asking them where their payment is. On the flip side, if the payment's overdue, how do you surface that then back to CS to make sure we're following up on that experience, right? There's such a process and integration component between those types of platforms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So we got to, I'm going to review this stuff. So we got into the mapping out the data to data dictionary. And now, would you title this one communication or it was?
I'd almost can like, yeah, it's probably like alignment, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so like you, and this should be a part of the process, right? Like as you think about people, process, data, technology, as you're going through, you're ramping up your onboarding, when you're outlining those process pieces behind, you know, mapping the systems and the data, like you should be having those conversations and getting those things stood up within the finance organization, same with marketing and sales and probably CS and product at the same time, if you're a product driven organization.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, cool. So fourth step, where are we at now?
Oh, I don't know. Where are we at now?
After data dictionary, then alignment, and then.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think at that point, you're moving it into like the infrastructure of building it into the systems and getting it up and running, right? Mm-hmm. You've got your pieces in place, and that's the technology and then the ultimate output. So setting up what that right cadence is for review and delivery. And obviously within that, there's going to be QA and validation and then continual iteration. One of the big things that I think, you know, we don't always do a great job at, or maybe I don't always do a great job at, I shouldn't speak for we, right? Is like, you've now finished the race. You've got something out as an output. What does it mean? So one of the things that I try to challenge myself with is whenever I am putting together numbers and like talking through these, like I try to bullet out, what decisions am I going to make from this, right? Like how am I going to action on this data, or who should be actioning on this data? And so I think that that's a really important piece when, and I started doing this like as stakeholders would ask for, you know, dashboards. Hey, we need a report on this. We need a report on this. We need a dashboard on that. Like, why? Tell me what you're going to do with this information, and how will I know that by spending the time, energy to put this in place for you, it's providing value, right? Like, how am I going to measure my metrics almost, if that makes sense? Because at the end of the day, like if you are just looking at it and not using it, like what's the point? So how do you help inform and really drive decisions off of it? So I think that becomes like your last piece, is like, it's not good enough just to stand it up and say, hey, we got 50 MQLs, right? What does that mean? What are the decisions we're making off of it? How do we tell the story with that piece of the puzzle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So to review, you document where these resources are coming, get a data dictionary alignment. Then you also need to do the integrations and the implementations, yep, and go on things, possibly buy more data if you see that things are missing, yeah. I guess that would come in there. And then making sure that data actually is used in the right way. And then I guess then you create more dashboards from that, or that was part of the integration phase.
I think that's probably part of the integration phase. I think, mm-hmm, then you start to, you iterate, right? And as your business evolves and grows, I mean, more data is going to be necessary. And I mean, you're never going to get all of this stuff done in one sitting, right? Like if you sit down and say, we're going to pull this all together and make this all work across our entire business, like it's not going to happen. You're going to be prioritizing probably key pieces, mm-hmm, of the process that you're trying to scale through and then continue to iterate, right? Like at the end of the day, you want to have, you know, everyone talks about the single view of customer. You want to have that unified customer data set that you have to really understand your business and tell that story. But that's never like, you're never done with that, right? It's never finished, right? You're just building this foundation that you're iterating on, and you're going to continue to evolve on it.
Yeah, makes sense. So let's go a few steps deeper. We can talk about data hygiene, data management. Where do you want to go?
Yeah, I think one of the big things, like when you think about, let's talk like data normalization, data hygiene, data management first, right? Because I think that that's, as you know, what's the average tech B2B SaaS company has like 80 different tools. That's like their traditional tech stack, which is like terrifying if you sit and really think about it. Like all of those systems have generally customer data in them, right? Like, how do you normalize that data in a meaningful way and bring that together? I think, and that's part of where like that data dictionary and data authority strategy comes into place, right? Like what are the things that we should make sure, like, this is how we bring data together and what makes sense? It's even like simple things as like, are we spelling out state or are we using abbreviations? Mm-hmm. That's such a small thing, but can cause tremendous like disruption downstream in your reporting if it's not right. Mm-hmm. You know, no one wants to stand up a report and you have two different versions of each country.
Right.
And so how you put that strategy in place of like, here's how we're going to normalize the data. This is what our structure is. I'm sure any marketing ops practitioner can empathize with getting a list from a trade show and they have different revenue bands and how you fit that in your pick list for revenue bands and getting that squared away. Anyone who's using enrichment, you know, your Zoom Infos, your ClearBits, all of those tools, like they have different outputs that come from these core pieces. So coming up with like, this is how we are going to take this data and actually normalize it into our systems is such an important piece of things that I think we tend to overlook because we're just like, hey, we got the data. And then that comes back and kind of bites us when we try to do actually the analytics on it because it's not actually structured always in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Reminds me of a story I remember. I'm located in Israel, so I was like, I'm from the States, United States. And so I was abbreviating all the states because I know I would say like 80, 85% like in 1 second and like 95% if I think about it for like 10 seconds. But other people don't. If you're a global company, people don't know the abbreviation states, which makes sense. But just was like, oh, this does impact people. This does change everything. Or this like maybe doesn't even matter what state they are. I just can say a region or a time zone or like things like that. So that reminded me of that story when I was just like shocked, but like, yeah, obviously it's like that. So it's funny. So we're at data hygiene. So people are cleaning up the data and the data helps you're mentioning before that there's also this bad data. Is that part of data hygiene?
I think
like
there's
misleading data, if you will.
I think that's part of it, right? I think there's probably twofold of how you get misleading data. There's one that's like it just isn't following the right process and you go back to the process component and how you're getting the output isn't right, whether that's like something in the systems is misstamping or mismanaging, or you really just half crap data, which happens, right? It's never 100%. If you're looking at, you know, your TAM, you're trying to get your total addressable market and you don't have the right qualifying indicators or bucketing, or you have stale data and you're not actually, you know, you're counting all these people who no longer work at certain companies anymore. That's another huge issue with, you know, not having an accurate data, which is going to hurt forecasting and projections downstream.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And data management, did we touch that or is that a different topic?
No, I think that's kind of folds into this as like part of all of the hygiene, the management, the definition of it, right? Like that overarching is probably data management is having the normalization, having the definition, having the enrichment strategy behind it, understanding, you know, where your source of, you know, truth of data comes in, you know, what actually, you know, a lot of people will say like CRM is my source of truth for data, but it's like, is it really? Like, is that really your source of truth? Or is it a source of truth for pieces of the data, right? So how do you think through, you know, your true source of truth, where that lives, and how you manage that?
So if it's not Salesforce, where is it usually?
Well, and it's not to say it doesn't have to be in Salesforce. I just don't know that Salesforce is the all-encompassing source of truth of data, of all your customer data, right? Generally, you think about like a data warehouse might be the source of it, or some sort of like data management layer where you're unifying and bringing data together. But, you know, Salesforce becomes the actual like go-to-market place where they action off of data, or sales is actioning off of data, depending on your business structure. But you think about like actually storing like the lineage of data and the history of data, and that like Salesforce doesn't do that well. You know, what is it, like an 18-month history, and it only tracks a certain number of fields changing. So like that might not be the best long-term true source of truth for actually getting your underlying changes in data.
Hmm. Yeah, no, it's, I didn't know about the 18-month rule or whatever to call that. Okay, cool. So that's interesting. And okay, so then so this is a lot of data, a lot of,
data is a tricky topic, right? Like there's a lot that goes into it.
Absolutely. So here's something for you. Data RevOps, then there's the BI data team, right? The business intelligence team. So what's that relationship? Is it a siloed relationship? Is it a, what is it usually, and what it should be, or by the way, different. So you can talk about both. And is there a way that they can work together, or they're just on such different projects that it doesn't even matter?
Yeah, I've seen this done like a few, and again, it's like, it depends on the business, right? So like the best relationship that I've had with the data analytics and like kind of like, you know, the reporting team is when we both revenue operations and it was a data analytics team reported up through the COO, right? We were on the same team. While a lot of their focus was really driven based on, you know, product usage and like that type of framework and those KPIs, right? There was such a strong synergy of bringing go-to-market information and tying product information together to really help, you know, find those opportunities for upsell, churn risk, you know, all of that sweet information that you need to drive the business forward. So that, you know, when we work together, like we actually told a way better story to the business. Because we are working again towards common goals, right? Like I laugh at this. It's like, when do people work really well together? When they're trying to accomplish the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like that just seems like such a like simple thing to say. But like, even though we're trying to get different points of the same thing, at the end of the day, we're trying to provide value to the organization to understand how we can better monetize off of our product information and give that back to go to market. So by working together on that, it required both of us to be at the table. They needed to know about go to market data, we needed to know about product data, and we needed to come together and define like what are those important KPIs that we need to surface and when, and how do we get that back, and then how do we know if it worked or not. So, you know, while I might not be the person standing up all of like the data pipelines and doing the data engineering, and they have no idea what's going on in Salesforce, like we both came together and like made it happen. So I think, you know, you need to forge those relationships and figure out what's important there. You know, one of the big things I've learned is like, there's a lot of data that can come in from like a lot of the product usage things, and being really purposeful as you're defining those pieces for go to market, right? We're launching like a free trial motion at Syncery to allow, you know, prospects to come in and try the platform. I could pick every single event off of an event stream based on our tracking. But if I do that, my sales team is going to be like, whoa, what's going on? And they're going to like the noise. So being really purposeful of like, what are the right groupings and the right indicators that show the intent and the usage and like where somebody might be stuck, and building that journey out and aligning the data to that. It goes back to like that process piece, which is huge. Otherwise, you're just going to end up with a lot of random data points that people aren't going to know how to consume and drive off of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Okay. So data best practices, what are some of the I guess, top three data best practices. I think you told us a lot of best practices, but if you had to find your top three, and this could be for someone that already isn't the first RevOps person, maybe it's the third RevOps person, but what are the top three data best practices you have in your,
Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the first best practices is like, ensure you have confidence in your data, right? Like that's, I don't know if that's really a best practice, but that's going to be like my tip, and it's going to encompass a bunch in there, but like, make sure that you're spending the time, you know, normalizing, standardizing, deduping, right? Like duplicates are horrible. Like make sure you're deduping, like really ensure you have confidence in your data, right? Because that's the first thing that just will knock credibility if you surface something up and people, you show a number and they say, oh, that's crap, right? Like then you've lost it. So if you're really trying to drive decisions based on data, you have to have the confidence in the data that you're surfacing. So spend the time, make sure you're getting it in there. The next piece of it is like, get your value, you know, out of the data, right? So data is an asset to the business. Same way people are an asset to a business. So make sure you're maximizing the value of it. You know, you've got this clean, trusted data, get it where it needs to go, get it into the right systems in the hands of the right people where they can really drive things forward on. You don't want to sit on the pot of gold, right? So make sure you're getting the right data to the right place at the right time, and it's working for the business, right? And then the third is thinking through like how you architect your pipelines for data and how you think about data through your systems and your tooling. Be mindful of like, you know, generally a lot of tools, it's, you know, one-to-one type sync between each other. You're buying a lot of point in time solutions that are sending point in time data. So think about how you actually really bring your data together and unify that data so you can have more of that, again, confidence in the value because of the aggregation and unification from it. So those would probably be like three of my big points. For people who are coming into this world, like don't be scared by data either. Like don't let it overwhelm you. Don't be intimidated by it. You know, again, use it as an asset, use it for what it is. Like it's never going to be perfect. You're going to try to make it perfect, but no, it's not always going to be 100% perfect. And be okay with that, but make sure you're not just like letting it fly off the windows.
Yeah. So it sounds like the data could literally be your full-time job. Like what percentage of a RevOps person is data, or it's something that, like, not talking about like the KPIs and like going through the KPIs, but like creating the data so that it can be
like the orchestration and the management.
Yeah.
It probably depends on where the company is from, like the maturity and like bringing new tools on and mm-hmm. where they're at. I think you want to get that foundation, spending time on, like, once you have good normalization and operating procedures there, like you shouldn't really be spending tons of time on the data management. It's getting it in the foundation first. Like, but again, I'd say you still probably are spending, you know, you're probably spending 10% of your time on just, that's probably high. I mean, I probably spend probably 5 to 10%, depending what we're doing, mm-hmm. right? If there's a new initiative or thing on data management, but like, you shouldn't be spending 50% of your time on data, because that tells me that you don't have the right infrastructure and the right processes and the right plan around it, right? You're being reactive. Mm-hmm. So be really proactive on your data management, and it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's another reason not to be scared of data, because then it's only less than 10% of your day.
And I would tell you, like, a tip and trick of this is, like, if I notice something weird in the data, so, like, let's say, you know, like, we'll go back to the state and country example. I have a dashboard. Every time something weird comes in, I drop it in the dashboard. So, like, I can take a one quick look and say, like, is something weird happening? Yes or no, and kind of have those like hygiene guidelines that you're trying to manage against, so you can catch the outlier proactively before it sneaks in reactively.
So what does that mean, that dashboard? Like, it, like, you could see that there's 58 states and that's 8 too many. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, just like anything that doesn't meet said criteria in there, or like if anything comes in that has. So obviously, you know, Syncery is a data unification platform, so I can do more prepending in my normalization, and I can flag things that with a review if they don't meet what my reference table says it should. So if I think about industries, so, you know, our enrichment provider throws something in and I'm like, oh, I got to figure out where this goes in the scheme of things. I get it flagged for me. So I can go in and fix it on creation versus retroactively fixing it when we go and do analysis on things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So it's like a validation rule in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Correct. Yep.
Okay. Cool. Cool. Well, Molly, I learned a lot about data, more than I ever knew I needed to know. but no, I think data is king and data is super important. Data, you grow through data.
Yep.
You meaning RevOps, but also the whole go-to-market team grows through data, and it's so critical. And it's, I think, a good, really good point that it doesn't need to be your full-time job. It shouldn't take over your job. It should be a piece of your RevOps position, and that piece will help grow the whole company and get a real accurate view of what you're actually doing and what you can do better. So I really thank you for your time, Molly. For
yeah, thanks that for having me. Guest,
and looking forward to staying in touch.
Absolutely. Take care.